While New Jersey has many priority needs, which include things like infrastructure, job creation, school funding, tax relief, and others, Governor Phil Murphy is determined to have the legalization of marijuana placed among those top priorities. Now, we've talked a few times about the health and addiction risk aspects related to this idea, but what would legalized marijuana mean for the workplace? Our first guest today joins us with insight into this potential turmoil that could result. He is the founder of Smart Approaches to Marijuana, New Jersey Responsible Approaches to Marijuana Policy, former drug policy advisor for Barack Obama, Kevin Sadek. Thanks for being here today, Kevin.
Thanks for having me.
A couple of websites associated with Kevin. Learn about SAM.org and NJ-ramp.org.
Yeah.
Now, I guess the first question, because there are places, there are businesses that allow smokers to have smoking breaks every couple of hours or designate a smoking area. So are we early enough in the stage where people have to realize and understand that the workplace is hopefully going to be treating legalized marijuana as they would an alcohol product versus a tobacco product?
Right. Well, I don't think we're anywhere near there. First of all, marijuana stays in your system a lot longer than alcohol or tobacco, and you can even be impaired long after you feel high. So you can be impaired even, 8 hours later when you think you're just fine. And secondly, we're seeing in Colorado so many costs associated with workplace accidents and absenteeism and other problems associated with increased marijuana use. The workplace is really, really hurting in places like Colorado, Washington, and other states that have legalized marijuana because employers don't have those protections anymore. They're being challenged in court. It's so costly to employers. And so I really wish we would just take a collective deep breath and not rush into the legalization of marijuana, which has just huge impacts on society, including the workplace.
There was one graphic I saw where every dollar, because obviously a state like New Jersey is doing it as a potential money grab because it's in dire need of funding.
Right. Yeah.
Every dollar received in taxes does not cover the cost of the action of the legalization.
It doesn't at all. And so there's cost to regulation, drug driving enforcement, and traffic safety is a huge issue with this as well. There's costs with regards to making sure there aren't contaminants and additives, which, by the way, there still are in Colorado, so much contaminated, quote-unquote, legal marijuana. So there are all these costs, and then you add in workplace accidents, productivity, and marijuana is the singular drug which reduces productivity. I think anybody with any experience with marijuana can tell you that. And so there are all these costs associated with it, and the revenue doesn't come close. It's just like alcohol and tobacco. For every dollar in alcohol and tobacco costs, it costs us $15 in social costs that are lost. So this is not a moneymaker at all. Some legislators, I guess, could get some short-term tax revenue, but it's not the savior to our schools. It's a drop in the bucket, and it actually costs more than it's worth.
I understand, right, there's legislation, again, that seems like everyone wants to jump the gun to a desired conclusion of legalization. So now they're looking at the workplace and drug testing, and there's a couple of Democratic Assembly members, Pamela Lampitt and Reed Gussiori, Camden, Mercer counties, respectively, who basically want to make it, if I'm understanding right, if you are high chemically but not high to the point of impaired on marijuana, that should not be a penalty.
It's a very bad idea because we don't have the technology to make that distinction. Marijuana and THC, it absorbs in your fat and it stays in your brain longer than it's in your blood, even in your urine. So there's no way to say that, unless there's some detection. We don't have a 0.08 kind of thing like we do with alcohol. Alcohol is a very different substance. It's in and out of your system quickly. THC is not the same thing. So with all due respect, I don't think those elected officials understand the toxicology and chemistry of such a complex substance that really does affect you long after you even feel high.
Kevin Sadek, who is the founder of Smart Approaches to Marijuana and New Jersey Responsible Approaches to Marijuana Policy. He's also a former drug policy advisor for Barack Obama. Learn about SAM.org, NJ-ramp.org, respective websites for Kevin's work, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. In those states where marijuana use has been legalized, not just for medical but for general purpose, what has happened to drug testing in those states with businesses?
Well, businesses have to spend more money on drug testing, and the worst part about it is that a lot of businesses cannot hire people anymore that they used to, so they can't find people to pass a drug test. The largest construction company in Colorado, the owner has admitted that he cannot find Colorado residents. He now has to go out of state, probably out of the country, to find people to pass a drug test. So This has been really a disaster for employers that have to deal with this fallout. We already have a labor shortage of low-skilled labor, people that would be drug tested. And there are this is just adding another linchpin to this. It's a big issue.
Yes, one of the foundations of the support of legalized marijuana would be, at least the claim is, that it would get people out of the black markets. But then, you know, states being what states do, they like to tax everything. If legal pot's more expensive, why would you leave the black market?
Exactly. The black market's actually thriving in legal states. Oregon, which legalized 70% of their market, is the black market. So it's a terrible argument to say this: the criminals and the drug dealers who sell marijuana are just going to, you know, give it all up or become legal licensed vendors that are going to pay taxes and, by the way, work in cash. Because let's be very clear, marijuana is actually not legalized anywhere. It's illegal under federal law, which oversees state law. So they're dealing with cash. There are so many black market actors that are trying to get involved in the legal market and hiding money, not paying their taxes. It really doesn't make any sense. And it's a great argument, I think, on paper from sort of an ivory tower. But in reality, the underground market loves legal marijuana because it allows them the permissive environment to operate.
You brought up something that too many people don't want to talk about, the legalization proponents. There's this conflict between the state and the federal law. So are we getting to the point now where states could be marijuana sanctuary states?
Well, we've definitely heard that, and we'll see what happens. Again, as we have a federal law, it keeps it illegal. Enforcement can happen any and at all times. Already, Jeff Sessions has said there might be enforcement in those states. So it's just a bad idea. I don't see who benefits from more marijuana other than this massive industry that really is controlled by only a few people that are trying to get very, very rich. Kids don't benefit. Parents don't benefit. Drivers don't benefit. Employers don't benefit. You know, who benefits from more people being stoned? I mean, it's the industry selling these THC candies and cookies and sodas to our kids. I don't see how that helps New Jersey, and I, for the life of me, can't understand why this would be a priority for any serious politician when there are so many other issues that we want to deal with. To be spending political capital on legalizing marijuana and really THC, which is what it is in the edibles, it is kind of beyond me.
And
I'm speaking as somebody who served in the President Obama's administration. I don't see this as a partisan issue at all. That's why I commend people like Joe Kennedy and others, Democrats, who have really come out against this.
And the edibles is a whole other issue, too, because overdosing has happened with that.
Huge.
Astronomical rates.
Huge increases in overdoses because this is THC, which is in these edibles in the concentrated form. So it's not like you're smoking a joint. And I think a lot of people need to get the old image of pot out of their head. This is not about smoking a joint. This is about THC edibles and candies, sodas, waxes that you dab on a vaporized pen, which have 99% THC. It's a totally different ballgame. Kids are getting their hands on these candies. Emergency room and hospital admissions are skyrocketing.
Saw one that's even it's a twin of a Kit Kat bar. I think it was green or pink. I can't remember
right.
The one I saw, but it was if a kid sees it, look, there's an Easter Kit Kat bar. I think I'll eat the whole thing.
You got it. I mean, that's what's happening is that kids think that it's just like a Kit Kat bar, like a candy bar, a Twix bar, a sucker, and they either know what they're doing, but they think it's no big deal because it's just pot, and parents have said it's legal, so what can be wrong? Or they actually don't know, and they're picking up what they think is chocolate. Then they end up having a psychotic reaction requiring a few days in the hospital. Hospital costs mount. It's a nightmare for families. It's a bad idea. And by the way, in the middle of an opiate epidemic, to be talking about wanting to increase drug use, I think is super irresponsible. Multiple parents we talk to, they all say that it started with marijuana.
It is a frightening situation that deserves much more thought than is being given instead
That's
of
right.
this rush to a conclusion. To learn more about this issue, you go to the website for the Smart Approaches to Marijuana, which is learnaboutsam.org, as well as New Jersey Responsible Approaches to Marijuana Policy, nj-ramp.org. He is the founder of both those organizations, Kevin Sabbath. Kevin, thanks for being here today.
Real pleasure to be with you. Thanks so much.